time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Sayre in Elk City, Oklahoma. Hey, it's Monday, everybody. We got lots going on today, and I got Andrew Hill be here in just a few minutes for segment three. Talk about some greenhouses / hoop houses and talk about them and get you ready for next garden season coming up next spring. It's pretty cool stuff he's got going on. And we got all kinds of good stuff going on today. First of all, let's check out some temperatures. 50 degrees at Arnett, 43 degrees at Alva, 52 at Hollis, 50 at Hobart, capital of Kiowa County, 45 up there at Slap Out, out here in the Panhandle, Texas. We got 47 at Lipscomb, 51 at Miami, 53 at Dozer, and 55 at Odell, down there across the Red River Bridge. Looks like, according to the weather forecast I'm looking at today, and we all know that's going to change, looks like wet weather is going to set in around Thursday and probably not leave until the day after Christmas. And also looking at the long ranger forecast, no winter weather coming our way. Looks like we're going to be 50s and 30s and some places maybe some 20s for lows at night, but don't look too bad for December. But you guys all know winter's coming, so don't let your guard down. Well, I had a really good weekend this weekend. Saturday they invited me to announce the Southwestern Oklahoma Show Pig Series first stop at Elk City. They got three more. I think two at Elk City and one at Weatherford. And announced that one. Had a good time. I'm telling you, the quality of the hogs that were shown there Saturday was unreal. And what a bunch of great kids. I mean, I don't know what they're doing back there in the pens, but out there in the show ring, they're really getting after it. I've seen some really good showmanship going on. Everybody comes up and shakes the judge's hand. The judge was really good also, and Pace, I don't even remember his last name right now, but anyway, I think his dad's a ag teacher at Tuttle, and he's from Amber. And so anyway, he is on the national champion OSU livestock judging team, so he's pretty good, knows his stuff, detailed, really good with the kids. And of course, my girlfriend from over there at Delhi, Miss Annie Dameron, she I was watching her when she out in the show ring when she walked up, and this judge standing 6'2", and you know, she stands every bit of maybe 3.5 foot tall. She just grabs his hand, grabs his elbow, and shakes his hand like a man-to-man shake. It was pretty funny to watch. Anyway, had a lot of fun over there, so thanks for inviting me to announce that show. And like I said, you guys get the chance to go. They got three more shows over the next month. You get a chance to go watch it. Go watch it. Pretty good stuff. And then yesterday, I helped my buddy from Grimes over there in Roger Mills County haul four loads of calves to the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. Well, it went pretty smooth, no flats, none of that. But to start off, we were loading five calves per compartment in both of the trailers. And he walked up in there, and you got to remember, this is an old man. He's like 75, 76, maybe he might be 77. Had a couple tours in Vietnam, might have had some Agent Orange, and then he had a tour in Desert Storm. So, you know, he's not all there. But anyway, he walks up there to shut the gate on five of those calves, and everybody that I know, because I have been, there's always a kicker in the bunch, and I don't know how many have not been kicked with a gate, in a divider gate in a stock trailer, but I have. But I got to witness this one. That calf didn't knock him on the ground, but it knocked his hat off and hit him pretty hard.
I know it's not funny, but this was funny. We walked back to get the next five, and he said, "Your phone going off or talking?" I said, "No." I looked at us, "No." He said, "Well, mine not either." It hit him so hard, he was hearing voices in his head. He thought it was a cell phone. I'm sorry, I had to laugh. But anyway, so he's all right. He's alive and well. It didn't hurt him that bad. But anyway, it was pretty funny stuff. I know it's not funny, but you got to understand the relationship I have with that guy. So anyways, pretty good stuff. All right, let's move on here. Let's see what was happening overnight, maybe over the weekend. Wheat was lower in overnight trading, led by Kansas City futures amidst precipitation in the U.S. Southern Plains, where hard red winter wheat varieties are growing. Corn and soybeans were a little changed, as much as six times the normal amount of rain and snow have fallen in the past in much of eastern Colorado, Kansas, and the western half of Oklahoma, and the entire Texas Panhandle, according to the National Weather Service precipitation page. This will boost prospects for plants that are overwintering in those areas. In the Black Sea region, we hadn't heard nothing from there for a while. Snow cover should remain abundant in northern Ukraine and northern Russia, keeping winter kill threats to a minimum, according to the forecaster Maxar. Futures were underpinned, however, on strong demand for U.S. supplies. Exporters sold 1.49 million metric tons of U.S. wheat to overseas buyers in the 7 days that ended on December 7th, according to the USDA. That's up quite a bit from the previous week and the highest since the grain marketing year started on June 1st. Wheat futures overnight for Chicago for March delivery fell a nickel to 6.24 and a quarter a bushel. And Kansas City was down 9 3/4 to $6.33 a bushel. Corn for March delivery was down 1 cent to $4.82 a bushel. Soybean futures overnight for January delivery lost 3 1/4 cents to $13.28 1/4 a bushel. Soy meal was up 70 cents to $3.97.30 a short ton, while soy oil added 0.16 cents to 50.31 cents a pound. Money managers reduced their bearish bets on corn while curbing their bullish bets on beans, according to the data from the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. Investors held a net short position or bets on lower prices of 149,655 contracts in corn in the 7 days that ended December 12th. That's down from 156,000 contracts a week earlier and the smallest such position since October 31st. Speculators held a net long position or bets on higher prices of 31,747 future contracts in soybeans last week. That's down 15 contracts from the week before, so not a whole lot of movement there. That's the smallest bullish position in beans since the end of October. In wheat, investors held a net short position of 30,489 contracts in hard red winter wheat futures, down from 38,000 the week prior. That's the smallest bearish position in contracts since October 24th. Hedge funds and other large investment firms held a net short 71,110 contracts in soft red winter wheat. That's down from 100,000 a week earlier. There you go. There's all kinds of stuff going on with the futures. Winter weather is expected in northern Indiana, southern Michigan, and parts of Ohio today, according to the National Weather Service. As much as 8 inches of snow is forecast for parts of Indiana and Michigan near the lake, and winds will be gusting up to 45 miles an hour, according to the National Weather Service. Travel conditions will deteriorate beginning this morning. In western and central Ohio, meanwhile, a half inch to an inch of snow is forecast, along with gusty winds at 40 miles an hour. So roads are probably going to be slippery up north if you're heading that way. All right, today is the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association Happy Hour, all hour long today on Mondays. I'll have more on the OCA coming up here pretty quick. And I'm starting to feel the excitement build for the Cattlemen's Congress starts next week. Bray Haven
one of the head honchos from up there. He's going to be on the show with me Thursday, and so we'll be talking to him about this is year number what, three for the Cattlemen's Congress, and it is big. It is awesome. If you've never been to the Cattlemen's Congress, you just need to pick a day and go up there and see all the livestock from all, probably, I know at least the lower 48 states and a few countries bring their cattle over here. Some of the best breeding stock in the world come to Oklahoma City starting next week for the Cattlemen's Congress. So we'll have that going on. And I will keep this in your calendar, January 5th. I'll be doing the show live from the Cattlemen's Congress in Oklahoma City. I'll be doing it from the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association booth, and we're going to have all kinds of good things to talk about that hour, so it's going to be pretty fun. So anyway, let's go ahead and take an OCA break, and when we come back, we'll do an update on the markets and see what's happening with the cattle markets and see how big a sale we got going on over western Oklahoma today over there east of Clinton on I-40, see what's happening there. Be right back.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We feel like we want to be good stewards of our depositors' money. It's what keeps Community Bank going for as long as it has. This bank's seen it all. Starting 1901, you've seen a few droughts. You've seen some market crashes. Oil and gas come and go a few different times, you know, from the 50s to the 80s to the 20-teens, and we're here. We never sit there and go, oh, man, I hope our doors are going to be open tomorrow. We're going to be there. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
SEI Agritech is excited to announce they're now open with their new LNC blending feed facility for their new product line at SEI Agritech 1400 South Randall in Elk City. With all the feed rations that you've come to know and trust, the new facility is the only LNC blending facility in the area. SEI Agritech in Elk City now open their new facility in their current location, 1400 South Randall in Elk City. For more information, give Kent a call at 580-225-0317.
Here's the problem. We've got so many pickups, crossovers, and SUVs at Barber Dyson Ford, Santa doesn't have enough room to land a sleigh at the dealership. Here's the solution. The Elk City Airport is next door. Officials have agreed to let Santa land a sleigh on the runway. He'll load one Ford vehicle at a time on a sleigh, deliver it, and then come back and get the next one on the list. When we work together, we can make Christmas dreams come true. Merry Christmas to all from Barber Dyson Ford in Elk City, online at barberdysonford.net.
You can buy parts anywhere, but the people at our store are different than people at other stores. And if they're not, we're going to make them different. They should be more knowledgeable. They should be more friendly. They should be more customer-oriented. They should be part of the community. We pride ourselves of doing business with people. You can buy parts anywhere. It's the people that make the difference.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
This is the Elk City Livestock Market Report for Friday, December 8th. 1,641 head were sold. 7 head of steers at 385 brought 317. 55 at 422 brought 302. 3 at 452 brought 302. 11 at 595 brought 231. 9 at 616 brought 219. 4 at 718 brought 215. 15 at 763 brought 215.50. 5 head of heifers at 404 brought 240. 6 at 558. Brought 210, 11 at 578 brought 183.50, 13 at 672 brought 200, 6 at 797 brought 183.35, 3 at 845 brought 181, butcher cows were 32 to 111, butcher bulls brought 76 to 119, bred cows were 935 to 2450, Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma, sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
At Lone Star Gin, 4.5 miles south of Pampa, Texas, on Highway 70, our mission is to provide superior customer service to our producers while getting their cotton ginned in a timely manner. We possess 120-plus bale per hour capacity, high-tech moisture systems, on-site sampling, and we move cotton in a timely manner from the field to the gin. With excellent hands-on marketing, our gin is designed to maximize profits for our farmers. Visit us at www.lonestargin.com or give us a call 806 866-665-0677.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, Lipscomb, Texas, 48 degrees, wind chills at 45. Humidity is at 46%, dew points at 28. The winds are at 7 miles an hour out of the south. Peak wind gust today, 14 miles an hour. Month to date, precipitation, 3.46 inches of rain. No red flag minutes, 144 minutes of sub-freezing minutes today. 8-inch soil temperature, 42 degrees. And that's your ag weather update from the Texas Panhandle out there. The Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association is a member-led and member-driven organization that provides legislative representation to protect things like your farm sales tax exemption, water rights, property rights, up to $10,000 theft reward program to assist in gathering information if you experience livestock theft, in-person and virtual producer education, beef direct sales list that connects consumers with OCA members, marketing beef, monthly issues of the Cowman magazine. If you've never had one, them are really nice magazines. And weekly email updates and issues videos. For just $100 a year, you can experience all these member benefits and so much more. That's less than $2 a week on, or a little over $8 a month to have an association that's working full-time to represent you and to help your protect your way of life. How do you join? www.okcattleman.org, or you can call Lori Campbell right up there at Arnett on the Big Ranch on the Berryman, 580-273-5137. Again, call Lori at 580-273-5137, or come by or go to the internet, www.okcattleman.org, or yes, at the Cattlemen's Congress, they'll have their booth set up. Be more than glad to sign you up when you come by to join the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. All right, let's see what's going on with the markets right now. Whew, I know the live cattle and the feeder cattle are going straight up. Right now, corn, March, 476, down 6. May is 488, down 6. Soybeans for January, 1321, up 5. 1334 for March, up 3. Soy, just hang on, went blank on me there. Soybean meal, January, 411.50, up 590. March, 399.40, up 280. Soybean oil for January, 50.65, up 66. March, 50.76, up 61. Hard red winter wheat. I'm gonna start using this word now instead of my other word. I'm going to say the wheat market is taking a tank from now on instead of a hit, so people don't misinterpret my words. March wheat, 634, down 8. May is down 8 also at 639. July is 643, down 8 also. Looks like cotton's in the red today. March cotton, 79.34. May cotton, 80.13. And July is 80.63. And oil, up $1.72 today out in West Texas. Intermediate crude oils, January 73.15, February 73.47, up $1.69. Natural gas is up today. It's January's 2.57, up 8, and February's 2.47, up 5. And let's see what. Let's check out what's happening with the cattle now. December, live cattle, 169.32, up $1.10. February, excuse me. February 170.37, up $1.02. April 174.20, 135. And feeder cattle, January 224.47, up 357. March 225.77, up 360. April feeder cattle 230.17, up 360. May 234 even, up 347. Lean hogs are in the red today. February 71.32, down 57. Well, this changed on me. Now it's down 45. April 78.20, down 42. May 84.60, down 10. And June is 92.75, down 45. I know Gary Crypto called me Friday to see if I'd been watching that RFD TV. I think it was Friday, Thursday or Friday. Anyway, they announced that that new corn record by David Hula out in Charles City, Virginia, 623.84 bushels per acre at his Charles City, Virginia farm. This beat the previous record of 616 bushels per acre he set in 2019. The new record also makes Hula a winner of the 2023 National Corn Yield Contest, sponsored by the National Corn Growers Association. Well, I did a little research and digging. All right, so here's the class. David Hula, 2023, strip-till irrigated, 623 bushels per acre. Last in 2021, David Hula, no-till irrigated, 602, but he set the record in 2019 with strip-till, minimum-till, mulch-till, Ted's-till irrigated at 616 bushels an acre. All right, that's the first time I've heard the word Ted's-till, and I'm sure you guys can text in at our text line and tell me what Ted's-till is so I'll know what it is, because that's the first time I've ever seen that word. So I did a little research back in what happened in 2019, and it's pretty interesting, so just bear with me here before we go to this next break. David Hula didn't just eclipse the 600 bushel per acre mark to win the 2019 National Corn Yield Contest. He crushed it, hitting a record 616.195 bushels per acre yield. Now, I did a little more digging back into the National Corn Growers Association deal. You have to have a minimum of 10 acres, all right, to enter these contests. And no, it wasn't on super fertile ground, jet black land. It was generated from one of Hula's sandy loam fields in Charles City County, Virginia. Everyone thinks we have a magic piece of dirt. We don't. It takes a team of folks in God's favor. There's no silver bullets. This is pretty cool. There's no silver bullets to such crazy yields that he has. It takes attention to detail, forethought, and resolve. I don't mind failing, he says. I don't mind doing things on a few acres to see what works. And in these plots, we're learning a lot. The things that do work, we implement on other acres. When they work there, then it becomes standard procedure for our operation, says Hula, who rotates between corn, small grains like wheat, barley, or oats, and double crop soybeans after the small grain harvest. The corn yield contest requires one hybrid number for at least 10 continuous acres. The previous record high for the NCYC, sponsored by the National Corn Growers Association, was 542 bushels. It's the fourth time Hula has set the world record and the fifth time since 2012. He's taken first in that National Corn Yield Contest. So this guy's serious. Hula's quest for top crops begins 18 months before harvest, when he's planting the previous year's crop and field testing new technologies and theories. In 2018, he began using Precision Planting Concealed Starter Fertilizer System, which places up to two different products on his John Deere 1770 NT planter. Using Conceal, Hula places starter fertilizer 3 inches away from the row, 1.25 to 1.15 inches deep. I'm adamant about 3 inches away from it because I'm putting 60 pounds of nitrogen on with that starter. Every acre of corn on my farm gets that rate, whether it's intended for the yield contest or not. He soil samples each field in 1 acre grids after soybean harvest. Correcting pH is a priority, as fields get an application of lime if necessary. He applies potash for the entire crop rotation before corn planting using a strip-till system Hula began using 2 years ago. Equipped with the ability to vary rates on the fly, the Soil Warrior strip-till rig is able to apply a blend of dry products including nitrogen, sulfur, phosphorus, and all kinds of micronutrients in a 7-inch band, making an ideal seedbed for corn.
Hula's conversion to strip-till is a change from a long-term never-till system. However, strip-till allows nutrients to be placed in an aerial band 6 to 8 weeks prior to planting. He preferred to strip-till in the fall, but the last two falls have been too wet to do so. By using a variable rate technology for precise fertilizer placement and only applying fertilizer in the tilled area of the field, Hula is able to feed the crop exactly where it's growing. This doesn't necessarily mean he uses less. It just helps ensure efficiency. Each year, Hula meets with his Pioneer representatives to study data from the hybrid suited for his environment. Yield is foremost, but a priority is also placed on the merge, then plant health, or what we call stay green ability. He also prefers hybrids that flower earlier than relative maturity. For instance, choosing a 112-day hybrid that pollinates like a 109-day hybrid, which gives it a lot longer to fill the grain. How about that? His record yield was obtained using the Pioneer P1197 1197 corn planted at a high rate. I was looking at that, and he drops anywhere from 38,000 to 54,000 seeds per acre. His planter is equipped with Delta Force automated downforce plus high-speed seed tubes to ensure ideal seed sink, which is vital for even emerge for the new crop. If corn comes up within 6 or 7 days, or so many GDUs from the time we plant with even emerge, we've known we've had an opportunity to do something special. And just kind of get on through this. There's a lot of stuff you guys could read yourself, but anyway, he says he only gets one chance to do it right with the planter. So when the planter leaves the field, you either blessed with what you did or cursed what you did, and you get to live with it for the rest of the season. On contest fields, he plants at 3 to 4 miles an hour. On commercial fields, he bumps it up to 5.5 to 6 miles an hour. So there you go. And then I got to call into him to see if he'll come on and talk about this new record he's got. But one thing is, I think one thing really cool what he says is, he says, not long ago, 600 bushels per acre was thought to be the maximum corn yield, assuming perfect conditions. Now Hula believes 800 to 900 bushels per acre is attainable. If that's the case, and our average is 170 bushels per acre, we're nowhere near where the potential is, he says. He suspects most farmers aren't producing as much corn on their fields as they realistically can. Set your yields goals a little higher and incorporate some new thinking to reach them. Let the combine yield monitor serve as a guide. Let's say you're picking 200 bushel corn that was planted for 200 bushel corn. Then all of a sudden you see on your monitor some 280 to 300, and then it backs off and stays there for. So why not target 280, 300 bushel corn? But you got to have goals, he said. He said a bunch of guys just stay in the same pattern. This is what I did last year, and I'll do it this year. But he said with a 600 bushel crop on his contest deal, his cost was $1,400 an acre. But that includes your rent and everything else, he said, but he still netted $1,000 an acre on 600 bush corn. So that's pretty good. So anyway, well, Mr. Andrew's in the shop with me right now, so we're going to take an OCA break. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Mr. Andrew Hill about some cool stuff. How about that? We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair, and they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed, Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service, 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
You know, I think the best advice that I could give a young couple is to go sit down and talk to an insurance agent. I see a lot of young couples, they're just getting online. I mean, they're just clicking the button and clicking what's cheap. And, well, if I click this, it makes it a little cheaper. But if I click that, it makes it go up. Well, there's a reason why it goes up. You need to know what you're paying for. And if you're paying for it, you need to make sure you've got the right coverage. You know, another piece of advice I would give is when you go in and talk to that agent, you need to discuss getting some life insurance. It doesn't have to be me. Any agent can help with that. But a young couple, you need to go in and sit down and talk to someone and understand what you're doing. You know, a term policy on a younger couple, it's a whole lot less expensive than what people think. And the younger you buy it, the cheaper it is. It's worth finding out how minimal that expense is, because it's life-changing if it's needed. That would be my best advice.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Hi, I'm Gary Owens, the owner of Galleria Furniture. We believe everyone deserves a good night's sleep at an affordable price. We have twin mattresses starting at only $99. Full size, $199, and queen size, only $299. With hundreds of mattresses to choose from, like Spring Air and Serta, why shop anywhere else? And remember, we'll beat any competitor's price or each year's for free. Visit us at any of our seven locations across the state.
Appliances not included.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton?
High cotton.
It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
Whether you graze livestock or produce hay from perennial forages, the Night Latch Group helps farmers and ranchers manage production risk by utilizing the federal crop insurance programs. The Pasture Range and Forage Rainfall Insurance Program signups for the 24 calendar year are now till December 1st. PRF provides needed cash flow and pays producers during periods of below average rainfall. Insure your operation against lack of rainfall with no money up front. Hold on to your ag investment with the Night Latch Group, 580-334-7995. Remember, even wet years have dry spells.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back to the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association Happy Hour. Every Monday, I pick Buffalo, Oklahoma for your ag weather update in northwestern Oklahoma. 43, feels like 40, dew point's 27, humidity's 52, the winds are out of the east, southeast at 5 miles an hour. 10-day rain total up there, 2.26 inches of rain. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 42 degrees. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water, 0.9. Sunset at 5:24. Sunny, 50 degrees today. Tonight, 33 for low. Tomorrow, 60 degrees. We're going to have a little south wind. 14 to 22 miles an hour with wind gusts 25 to 30. So it's going to be a little breezy tomorrow. So anyway, well, in the studio with me right now is Mr. Andrew Hill. And he's a fellow veteran, right?
Yep. Yes, sir.
You're a Marine, but I'll still call you.
I won't hold it against you.
So anyway, Andrew, tell everybody what you got going on with your company. What's the name of it?
The company's name is Focus Farms Greenhouses. And we started back in 2014, and what we do is we manufacture and install greenhouses, or high tunnels as well, as another term for
them. I called them hoop houses.
Hoop houses works as well, yes.
That's the redneck version.
That fits here in Oklahoma.
Yeah,
yes.
It fits right in it. And you guys do, first of all, everybody knows the world-famous high school basketball coach named Russ Rundle.
Mm-hmm.
And Andrew is Russ's son-in-law.
And we won't hold that against Andrew. But anyway, I figured the reason why he was running late to come to the show. Well, he wasn't really late. I told him 12:15 or 12:30. You were quail hunting with your father.
I sure wish.
But then he sent me a text, dropping the kids off.
So. Yep, I had their out this week, so I got them. And Tawn's lucky enough to, or I'm lucky enough to have her watch them while she's have her days off from school. So.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool. So are you going to quail hunt while you're out here?
No, unfortunately not. I wish I would, but I got to go down to Houston after this. So.
Oh, yep. Great. So, anyway, we won't hold you being his son-in-law against you. So, anyway, the Focus Farms greenhouses, first of all, tell us how you got into this.
I got into this whenever, about a year before getting out. My dad, he's been growing out of high tunnels for, gosh, I guess back in 2013 is whenever he started. Or, no, sorry, 2009. And we had a gentleman by the name of Steve Upson that worked with the Noble Research Institution down there in Ardmore. And he said, Steve, you know, there's not really many people here, and I think you know how to grow out of them. Why don't you figure out how to make them? And so Dad gave me a call, and I kind of thought he was crazy. But I ended up talking to my wife, and we made the decision a month before me getting out that we'll do it. And so we bought a machine. I got out in September. We bought a machine in October, and we finished our first house the Christmas Eve of 2014.
Machine. What machine?
It's a so we take everything of our straight stock, and we have an angle roller.
Okay.
And so we'll be able to manufacture everything per order. It's a custom kind of thing.
Well, if you guys got any questions about hoop houses, greenhouses, our high tunnels, while he's here, the text line's wide open at 580-225-9697. And these just ain't your average greenhouses. These are well built.
We've definitely learned a lot into the harsh environments of Oklahoma. So we have been designing our houses to withstand our harsh weather, especially our wind and those random late or the heavy snows that can come in.
So what you was telling me when we talked about it last year, I think, or something like that, you got some up in the panhandle of Oklahoma. If you need a wind tunnel test, that's it.
That's it, yep. And we've gone all over, too. We don't just stay in Oklahoma, so we've been tested. In New Mexico, they get pretty crazy winds as well, and the snow's up north in Minnesota. So we have put them through some tests, and they've definitely withheld it.
All right, let's start with one of the hoop houses. It don't matter what size. So you start from the ground up. What's your requirement from the landowner?
Well, I don't know if there's necessarily a requirement, because you can, with what we've done, you're allowed to work towards a slope. You don't have to have an absolute dead level pad. Now, you do have to take into consideration, here we're below the 38th parallel, so we want our houses running north to south for the optimal sun.
Right.
So if you have that running down that north-south side on the slope, that's fine. But if you go to the east-west side, you have a little bit of a harder time. You know, you'll have one side that's higher and one side that's lower. So if you have at least a general idea or a level-ish area, that'll be it. And then we like to go 3 foot down in the ground with everything we do. So don't have us hit shale. We have hit shale. You know, we just got done with one actually kind of on the eastern part of the state that – we had to use a jackhammer and get in there and add some extra, supports.
Is that where Russ comes in?
Yes, exactly. He does all the heavy lifting.
Yeah, well, he's out there lifting weights every day and riding bikes. He ought to be in pretty good shape. But they, what's your smallest house?
So we are actually, up until recently, our smallest house was a 30 by 48 is what we said.
Okay.
Just mainly because if you're doing any kind of growing with the NRCS program, which I know we can get into, they want you to at least sell a little bit to the market, and that gives you enough to be able to feed a family as well as do some kind of selling. But we have started doing, now we're doing into the backyards. 12 by 16 is the smallest that we're going, and we can go up to there.
Okay, let's take a 30 by, 48?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's take that one for example. How many joists do we got going across there?
So we like to do 4 foot centers here, mainly because of our wind. You could go out to 5, but the tighter spacing you get on those ribs, or the bows as we call them, it does a little bit less damage on your plastic, so it can't rise and fall as much.
Right.
So we'll go 4 foot on there, and that would give us 13 bows.
And the deal.
Mm-hmm. So what we've done, too, is we've gone up to a 1.9, which is equivalent to 1 7/8 bow. It's 13 gauge, so we've doubled our wall thickness. And one thing we did with our bows, we used to just have a straight sidewall or on the long side of the bow, and now we've added a deflection. So it's just like an empty semi-trailer, how you got that little hog back in it. The idea is to have that be in our biggest part of the bow, so it always has energy pushing out. So when that wind or anything force tries to come in, it's got energy pushing and has to push a lot harder for it to have any kind of failure.
You've come a long way with your greenhouse.
We definitely have learned a lot.
he's talking stuff now that he didn't talk to me a few years ago about. But anyway, you're 30 foot wide, mm-hmm. you're 40 foot long. All right, you're gonna come out and set it up on somebody's place, and because I'm working on getting mm-hmm. one, and I love growing gardens, but I'm sick of animals.
Yes.
And I mean, these might not be snake proof, but they're going to be deer proof. So you come out and you already say you put your stuff 3 foot in the ground. So is there, before you put the plastic on, is there different, does everybody do it different, or do you guys recommend you're going to put boards around the outer edge? Is your soil already in there? They're going to have raised beds, or is it everything above what I just said?
I would say it's everything above. We've tried in the past to create kind of a basic kit or a standard, but everyone has different ones. So like with the baseboards you brought up, some people want to use 2x4s or 2x6s, but others want to use our 2x2 square material, so they don't ever have to mess about replacing it.
Right. Because it's galvanized, right?
Exactly, yes, sir. Yeah, so there's a lot of different options when you come there, but I would say the best way to break it up is you got your frame, then your end walls, venting package, and then you can keep on adding from there, whether you want fans or heaters or whatnot.
Right.
So we kind of just build it together, agree on what we're going to do, and then we do all the manufacturing ourselves in-house.
Okay. So before we get to the fans and the heaters mm-hmm. and all that stuff, and the door roll up doors on the side and stuff like that, if you're gonna do drip irrigation, you want to have that in place before things get too crazy with the building.
You know, yes and no. At least bring your source inside. Another thing though is because it's plastic, you can always go underneath or through the board if you need to.
Right.
So we've done it. Our irrigation is very simple. We just get a 2-inch blue heavy line and kind of pop in our feeder lines into that and just run it off a spigot. Other people like to do it, actually run the dosatrons, put it up in there with the gallons, and they feed and get a little bit more fancy with it. And you can do all of that after we're out.
Right. Because
if you have the lines in there when we're doing, we'll try our best, but I don't know if we're going to miss that line moving that ladder every time.
Well, and it's not like you got a concrete footing or anything in there, so it'd probably be easy to go underneath and stuff like that. All right, so then you get your outbuilding set up, the framework done, and what different options do you have with your plastic?
So I would say we have four different levels. Our very first one, the basic, is a 6 mil polyethylene film. It's got a 4-year UV warranty on it. I think we just replaced one that went 8 years long. You know, it's not the strongest film. Again, it's only 6 mils. So we do have some, with our windstorms, you have the possibility of it ripping along the seams, but you're not looking at a very expensive replacement for that. The next level up there is what we call, it's a 10 mil reinforced film. And what they'll do is they take two layers of film. They make it down in Texas. It's a 2 5-layer films, and they actually do a nylon grid system that's sandwiched in between. And what that does is help stop it from ripping and continuing to just tear up, and it's a lot heavier and longer lasting. So that's something we've really been switching to and seeing more of customers liking. It's about 30% more, but you're getting a lot more lifespan out of it, especially out here in our windy areas. And then from there, you can go to we have a thing called Solar App. It looks like bubble film. It's absolutely awesome. I did drink the Kool-Aid, and we ride for the brand now on that one. But it is good stuff. It's about 25-year life expectancy, but you're about 10 times more expensive than your 6 mil.
Okay, so on your normal, mm-hmm. What's the lifespan?
They say 4 years. We have, I think we just replaced one that was 8 years. It lasted 8 years. Right. Now, one thing you'll run into is as that sun beats on that film, you will have some of the transparency. You'll lose some of it. It kind of just eats it away, but there's nothing. It's not huge. You're not going to see like, oh, I have 30% less tomato crop because my film is 6 years old rather than four.
Yeah, it's not going to hurt your production.
No, and that's one of the main things onto
that. Somebody must have tried that on you.
They did a little bit, but it's that's why I had to research that one.
Oh.
But, you know, and one main benefit with these high tunnels and hoop houses is, especially where we are, which they did just update the map. We got moved to a zone 6B, so everything moved down south a little bit. But we should be able to plant tomatoes in March, and you'll have tomatoes probably all the way until December. Unless you get one of those, what was it, a couple years ago when we had that October 2-week ice storm?
Yep.
Good luck trying to keep those things.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's take a break. OCA break, Oklahoma Cattlemen Association, and we'll be right back. I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden, and we'll finish up with Andrew. Got some questions coming in. Keep it going, but we'll get into some different sizes, the roll-up doors, explain Perfect. The roll-up doors and stuff like that. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom mats, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 for all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Calling all rural residents of Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle. Are you tired of hauling off your own trash? Call D&G Trash Hauling. They can have a dumpster delivered to you in no time. D&G offers weekly or bi-weekly pickup, four different size dumpsters, there's no contracts or hidden fees, and they have affordable rates. Your satisfaction is always top priority at D&G Trash Hauling. For more information, give them a call at 580-497-1234. That's 580-497-1234. Let D&G Trash get rid of your trash.
Cattlemen's Congress in the heart of cattle country is far more than just a cattle show. See for yourself December 30th through January 11th at the fairgrounds in Oklahoma City. The newest and most elite genetics North American cattlemen have to offer will be there. Cattlemen's Congress is the gathering place of the cattle industry and provides sales of elite genetics, something for every operation. And stop by on January 4th or 5th for a commercial cattlemen's luncheon from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. For a full schedule, sale information, and everything you need to know, visit cattlemanscongress.com.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, here's your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag weather update. And I picked Hobart today. 51 degrees, 36 is the dew point, 57 is the humidity. The winds are out of the east-northeast at 11 miles an hour. 10-day rain total, 2.15 inches of rain. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 45. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water, 1.0. Sunset, 527, sunny and 53 today. Looks like you're going to get there. 31 for a low tonight. And a little gusty tomorrow. South winds, 12 to 20 miles an hour. Temperature, 57 degrees. Looks like we got this good weather. So you guys, have you been busy this year?
We have been busy, and it's been good. I think a lot of people growing more and being conscious of their where they're getting their food from.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's Jimmy Clark thoughts. I promise you. I want to come up and see your dad's deal so bad. When I get up there, and my doctor's appointment ain't at 7:45 in the morning, I got to get back to the show by noon. I'm going to come see you.
We'd love to have you.
Yeah, and that would be cool. And I want to meet your dad. So, all right, so we're talking about these high tunnels, greenhouses. And, I mean, everybody basically knows what a greenhouse is, but there's so many different varieties. So if you get on, what's your guys' website? What is it?
Focusfarms.com.
Yeah. And, yeah, P-H-O-C-A-S, focusfarms.com. Anyway, get on there and check out these structures they got. I mean, this ain't – you're not halfway doing it.
No, sir, we are not.
No. You got the structure up, and what's your options? Irrigation, you got fans, you got heaters.
We can do controls where everything can be automated. You can also have more kind of your manual options if you want to do it. So there is a lot of customability in there.
Right.
On
extras. Yep.
Yeah, on extras.
Right.
So now on the flip side, you can grow just well with just the basics too.
Right.
So you don't need a whole lot of fancy stuff. It's just you're fighting the weather. Every year is different. I mean, everyone who farms knows that. So you've still got your baseline, but you're going to have to adjust as you get.
It just depends on whether you want to be cool or not.
Exactly.
Okay, so on the one that I'm looking at on the website, you do that in a 30 by 48, correct? Okay, so you got roll-up sides. Tell everybody about these roll-up sides.
So we actually call them roll-down. There is two different options. You got roll-up or roll-down. One thing that my dad found out early on in the years is the reason if you do it from the ground up, you're not able to protect those young plants as that wind's coming in. And that was the whole reason why he moved a lot of his peppers and tomatoes in a high tunnel is because that wind stress would just stunt the growth.
Okay.
So with us going from the top down, we'll set our, we call it a hip board, or your side wall would be 5 foot tall. You're going to start at that 5-point mark and be able to vent it all the way down. So if you are needing to vent and you're on a windy day, you can still, you know, only crack it open 2 feet. And you got about 18 inches of protection that's not letting that stuff hit the plant. So the plants are protected, yet you still got your air movement and the heat escaping.
Right. I got you. That makes sense.
It does. And then you can, if you want to do the roll-up, we can add a knee wall and other things. But
yeah, it costs an extra money because of the way I think.
Exactly.
But I like the roll-down deal. Well, that makes sense. Actually, now that I think about it, out here at the Pumpkin Mom's place out here east of town, her deal is roll down. Now that I think about it, she just rolls it down to let air circulate
exactly
and get it out of there and not affect her plant.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's pretty cool. So you got your roll down, and then I mean, you got what's the basic package? You got a door in front and back.
So all of ours, all of our end walls are out of 2x2 square tubing, galvanized as well. We try to do as minimal wood as we can. So then you'll have the option of just doing a standard 4 foot by 80 inch door, or you could double it up. We do the welding in house, so if you want to have a custom door to fit a tractor in, we can do that as well. So that really depends on what your needs are.
Okay, so base package, what's the biggest one you ever built?
About 17,000 square foot. And so they had a thing, we gutter connected them. So it was just one after another connected on the sides.
Wow.
And it was all under one roof.
Wow. So how long was that thing?
That was, I think, I don't know, everyone's going to make fun of my math. I want to say it was 120 by 160.
That's a lot of tomato plants.
It was a bunch, yes.
So what's your biggest package that you offer on a normal basis?
30 by 96.
30 by 90. Yes. And then the smallest one before we get into the backyard deal, because we mm-hmm. it's already gone by. We got a minute left. What's the smallest? The
30 by 48.
Mm-hmm. All right. So you got these couple of backyard ones going now. What size did you say they was?
12 by 16, and then we go up to 16 width. The length is immaterial because you just can add more and more bows as you want. But the width is the 12, 14, or 16.
So how does people get a hold of you to find out about this? I mean, you got your website.
Yep, so go to the website. They have a contact or a ask a quote. Just enter your information, and we'll be calling you or emailing you and within 24 to 48 hours.
And that is... P-H-O-C-A-S farms.com. Look at the music's playing. There we got go. That there. So what's this, like, real quick, like a small backyard one, the 12 by 16 or whatever, what's it cost?
Just they start at around $2,100, and then you can get all the way up to $5,200.
Cool. All right. I hope you guys enjoyed having Andrew Hill on with us. And if you got any questions, and you didn't write nothing down that I was telling you about, you know how to get a hold of me, and I'll pass it on to you. Anyway, you guys have a great day, and thank you, Andrew, for
coming
on.
Thank you, Jimmy.
And see you guys tomorrow, Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. God bless.
There's a good mix of music.
Really good music.